almost didn't remember to put the mute button off there. So, good evening. It's Thursday night. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, your host, and we're looking at a big old giant hurricane cruising up the East Coast this week. So, hope everybody's getting ready for it, taking it serious, and maybe even enjoying a little hurricane party. D, you didn't take all the beer back, did you?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
So, good evening to my friends here on the what I like to call Buzzard's Roost. I got D Kaminsky with us from the Sebastian Inlet area, and Bill Howard from the Tampa area. Good evening, folks. Bill's
me,
taking
sorry.
A swallow. Just popped one there, right? So let me open up one for us all. There we go. Sweetwater is the unofficial brew of Kayak Fishing Radio. They're just up the road here in ATL. So, what's your favorite flavor, D?
I don't have one. But I did like the Sweetwater with the grapefruit in it. That was awesome.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, how are you doing this evening, Bill?
I'm doing good. How are you going?
We're doing good, man. So, are you guys getting any rain from the hurricane there? I didn't even look at the charts to see where it's at right now.
Yeah, we aren't over here in the Tampa area. It's just real windy right now, and we've been getting some pretty bad rain, though, just typical summertime stuff.
Yeah. How about you, Dee? How's it?
Well, ironically, for about 2 hours now, it has not rained, and now a rain band came in, and right when you were talking about it, it just started pouring again. So
it's
mean,
my
it's,
fault.
It's
I'm
on
sorry.
And off, and rain is on and off based on rain bands, but the winds haven't been any higher than maybe 30 miles an hour, if that. So it hasn't been so bad, and I'm only, I don't know, 900 yards from the beach, from the ocean. So,
yeah, it's pretty much a beam, you guys, right now.
Mhm.
Yeah, it's just right out there offshore.
Yeah, but it's not very strong. So we got very lucky here. It's just really, really wet.
Yeah, it's saying max sustained right now at 115 miles an hour. It's just
At the eye, but that's 100 and some miles off of the shoreline.
Yeah.
200 miles? 200 miles.
Yeah, because it's just right out there. Let me see. What is it, 90-something miles, 110 miles over to the Bahamas? We used to do it just right across there. Sorry, I'm messing with my paperwork here. Who is... There he is. He made it back. Rob Choi joining us here on Buzzard's Row. Good evening, Rob.
Hey, good. How are you, man?
All right, dude. You guys getting ready for the big blow up there?
Yeah, I was actually out of town all week on a business trip, so I got to get home and get all my stuff ready. I don't have a garage. I have a basement that's got all my fishing stuff and camping and all the other gear, so I got to get that up and out of there because it's more than likely going to get flooded. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
Man. We'll make sure that you guys... actually, they're saying now it's going to go north of you.
Hey, I'm all right with that.
You're all right with that? You're probably going to get a good bit of rain, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm... hoping it just stays the rain. I mean, preferably even less than that, but I mean, I don't think I'm going to avoid the rain, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me see... In the chat room over there, I'm seeing Brett Allen from the Georgia Kayak Fishing crew. And Pop Gibson is in there. Hey, Dad, the Hammerhead, Greg from New Hampshire. Now, there's somebody, those folks up there in New England have got to start worrying about that rascal. Jason Self is in there. And VB Javacek, which is Chris Lally. So welcome to all of y'all in the chat room there. If you want to call in, 714-816-4727, you can join us here on Buzzard's Row and give us your opinion. We've all got them. We all asked for them. So hopefully everybody's getting ready for the hurricane. They take the appropriate measures. I'm one that the last one I stuck it out was in Pensacola. I didn't get on the flyaway team, so I had to sit there through a Category 3, and that sucker was nasty. I didn't appreciate having to sit there, so I'll run away anytime it's coming at me here. But so tonight I was going to update some folks on the leaderboard we have right now going on. And actually, because we had some technical difficulties, we're at basically the voting has been open for a week, officially for a few extra days, but I don't think I saw anything in there before the 19th of last week for votes. But we kind of let some of them out of the bag on the earlier shows this week. I keep trying to update question number 9 for those of you folks who've answered it. I appreciate your responses. Some of them are well thought out. And actually, we already are going to be taking those and putting them into some of the ideas for next year's program. I want to remind everybody who listens to the podcast that the nomination period was open for almost 10 weeks. That was actually one of the questions. Remember, when you put something in the question 9, unless you put your name in there or someplace, some way for me to contact you, I can't really answer it because it's like, you never asked me. Well, I don't even know who me is. So, I mean, it's interesting. Your comments were well taken, but it's kind of funny. So nobody from Kayak Fishing Radio or YakAngler.com was allowed to create a nomination. So all the nominations came from people who we put out emails, we did Facebook and tweets and all of that, and the nominations were sent in by your fellow kayak angler. So if you think, wow, how come this guy isn't in there? Well, maybe we weren't as wide-reaching. Maybe we were a little egotistical, thinking that Kayak Fishing Radio was around the world. But so hopefully we'll get out a little bit more. So, you know, I've gotten like all kinds of response from guys in Hawaii, and totally, I mean, if you're in Hawaii and you're out there paddling around, yanking on big old yellowfin tuna and those serious amberjack that are on steroids there, I forget what they call them now, but those monsters, and you're in a kayak, you're doing great jobs, and I would love to see some Hawaiians voted on, but some of the questions, it says kayak angler is more involved. D, tell me what your response to this one would be, because I don't know who wrote it in. No, all we see are the actual IP addresses, but it did say that female anglers should be a separate category. And I'm going to reveal who's on the top of the list here tonight. Not yet. I don't want everybody just hanging up and going home. But you know, we're going to have to spread it out, kind of like, you know, what is it, American Idol, you know? Right after this commercial. But do you think the female should be separate? I mean, I put in there when we had the nominations that I think that males and females compete equally in kayaks. What do you think, Dee? Clears her throat.
I know. I don't see why there's a difference between a male and a female in terms of being able to catch fish. I mean, we all drive cars the same way.
Right.
We walk the same way. We cook. Well, no, we don't cook the same way.
You paddle a little funnier than I do.
But that blows away the fish like a girl terminology, right?
Well, I mean, that's just all the fun.
But I have never agreed that even in tournaments that there should be a ladies angler division.
Right.
I don't see what the difference is.
And like I said, I love to listen. I love to hear everybody's point of view. That's one of the reasons why I started Kayak Fishing Radio, because I like listening to people and their opinions. But let's just put it this way: if we had a separate ladies category, there would be 1, 2, 3 of you competing against each other. Now there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 20. Hang on, I got to take off. I got most of my shoes and everything off. So there's 21 anglers for the Kayak Anglers Choice Award Kayak Angler of the Year. There's 21 in there, including the three ladies. So Jason's in there saying girls actually have an advantage because you have a lower center of gravity. But,
no, I think we're more top-heavy, man. Where did that come from?
Yeah. I know.
At least I'd love to be more top-heavy.
I don't know. Chris Lally is in the chat room there. Chris, I know there's a little bit of a delay, but if you want to pop in a comment there, I don't know what you think about it. I'm sure she fishes like a girl, too. And she is one of those of the three, you, Chris, and Linda Cavett are competing along with the other 19 guys for the Kayak Angler's Choice Award for Kayak Angler of the Year. So I just thought it was interesting. I think it's a little more competitive. Certainly one of you, if we had you separated out, you know, one would be first, second, and third. I mean, you would be guaranteed some kind of not award.
I don't see why it should be any different. They fish just as well, if not better than most. It doesn't make sense to me. So I think it should stay the same.
Personally. You got Kayla coming in there. Kayla, have you been hearing our conversation?
No, I haven't.
Okay, do you fish any differently than a guy does out of your kayak?
I think I might, like, twist things a little differently.
You might do what?
But I might, like, tweak things a little differently. Like, I'd probably rig my kayak maybe a little different, like, for girl standards than guy standards. But I definitely don't think that me being a girl has any difference in the way I catch fish.
The fish don't care, right? The fish don't know the difference.
Absolutely.
That's what Brett just said in the chat room there. Okay, so that was, I mean, it's interesting. But let me go back and see what some of the other ones were. Somebody recommended that we had the kayak angling journals and stuff. They recommended Playboy magazine as the best kayak. I don't think I've ever seen a kayak article in Playboy magazine. But I could be wrong. So here's one that we will definitely do next year. The add a description of each product and vendor with a link to their website or their blog, and even with the people, there's some other ones in there. I thought it was a great idea, and I kind of feel stupid for not doing that. But but that's a great idea. So, what else? Somebody said it was just Florida and a sprinkling of others here and there, but and we did get some Louisiana stuff in there, so there it is. What else? Looks good. Somebody asked, and then one of the things that was, there's a couple of questions in there. Why are some people not included in the Angler of the Year or the Kayak Guide of the Year? The reason being was, unless I knew you personally and I just wanted to embarrass you by putting your name in there, actually everybody should have got an email that was nominated. And if I didn't get a response by after 10 weeks or didn't get a some sort of confirmation, a verbal, because I talked to some of the folks that are on there, I didn't put your name in there because, you know, some of the legal things about using your name and that kind of stuff. I don't have a problem doing a unsolicited review of a kayak or a piece of fishing gear or something like that. But when it came to putting somebody's name in there and having people vote for you and stuff like that, I felt that it was a little more polite to ask people if they wanted to be nominated. And I actually had a couple of people who responded and said that they would rather not play. And I respected their wishes and I left them off of the list. So So if you're concerned that someone didn't get on there, and that's the reason also that there's no write-in for either the angler or the guide, is because I can't write them in. You can't write them in, and then I stick them on there without having contact them and stuff. So next year, hopefully we'll reach a broader audience and we'll have some more folks out there. And then at the urging, because the write-in, and I felt, well, you know, if everybody wrote the same one in, and Bill brought to my attention that some people were getting cookies on their computers and they weren't being allowed to vote again, and I said that you could vote once a day. So I fixed that. So that should be, if you're trying to vote for your favorite every day, if I see an IP address on there, like 400, which I keep telling Rob that can't compete in it because he one of the broadcast hosts, but so I just delete his. Not Rob Choi, Rob Bad Bad Cast. Sorry, Rob.
Well, the other thing I had questioned about was there's two people in my household that would have loved to have voted every day but can't because we're on the same IP address. Is that true?
Well, what I'm doing is I'm following along the lines of the Kayak Wars guys, and I'm figuring it reasonable. So if there's two or three from the same IP in a day, I'm assuming that's the reason. You know, if I see a couple of hundred from the same IP address in one day, then I'm assuming somebody's automatically going through there and hitting all the buttons. You know what I'm saying? Does that sound reasonable?
I'm not trying to be unfair.
Yeah. So, well, and if I go somewhere, I'm going to set my computer up and let people, vote on it. You know, I'll let several people do it. So if I see something that looks fishy, and believe me, once this is all over, I'd be more than happy to show anyone. All of the stuff is being kept in Excel format, and I'd be more than happy to forward the results and everything to whoever would like to see it. It will be all open for public review, so no problems there. So I'm more than happy to. Everything would be open and be able to be validated if you want. But there's no gold watch. It's just for bragging rights. I mean, that's what we're all about as fishermen, right? Have the bragging rights of the big fish of the day. I'm going to make up some little certificates. I've got some colored pencils that I stole from the clone. And I'm going to kind of color them in and stuff. So.
Original artwork right there, buddy.
I know, right? I mean, I'll probably give them a Kayak Fishing Radio sticker. Kayla's like, not until I get mine,
yeah,
right, Kayla?
I'd like to have one of those, too.
I'm working on it, all right? Anyways, so who's got big fishing plans for Labor Day weekend? Bill, you're kind of on the waivers list right now.
Yeah, it's too far out for me to...
Yeah, right.
To decide. I mean, I've got some ideas. I want to do a East Coast trip with Dee and Chuck.
Right.
And get that written, and then I've got a Pine Island trip planned, but that's going to be for October.
Oh, nice.
When the tail and redfish start down there.
Oh.
See, now we've got. You're jealous, Dee.
I so want to go there.
The Pine Island?
Yes.
That sounds like fun. So we are going to, the clone and I are going to hit the road on Labor Day weekend, and we're going to be broadcasting out of Panama City for that weekend. We're going to go fish with Captain Linda and the crew from the Panama City Kayak Fishing Association. Going to fish that inland area there on Saturday morning, just outside of Tyndall. Have you ever fished in that area, Bill?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Maybe if the weather stays good, I noticed they've been getting a lot of rain through that area, but maybe if the weather stays good, we might be able to get off offshore on Sunday or Monday there. But Clone and I have been...
Yeah, I'd like to make it up there and do an offshore trip. You know, they can... They don't have to go very far. They can sailfish and the red snapper and That'd be awesome.
Yeah. And you know, and if you look at the topography of the floor of the Gulf right there, you know, from the trench and everything, it comes up and it just empties right out there just offshore of Panama City in that area. So you see mm-hmm. some pelagics and stuff. I think Linda's actually caught, she had one post where she caught two sailfish within in the same week right offshore there.
Yeah.
They do some really nice catching there, so.
I'd love to go up there and take some pictures. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, and one of the guys from Georgia Kayak Fishing is always going there, Sam. And he's always doing some serious fishing out there. So, but joining us on the on Buzzard Row is our Wednesday night host, Mark Landing Crew Wheeler. Hey, Mark, how are you, man?
Busy.
You building the seawall to block the storm surge up there?
Actually, I just finished putting the boards on the windows because the latest track has the thing when you zoom in really close,
yeah.
Like going right over top of my house. So.
Right. Well.
It'll be fun.
Hunker down, man.
Yeah, it's a fishing trip.
Yeah. Head south. So.
Yeah.
But all right. So let me go over some of the standings here. We've been talking about some of the stuff, and I have been updating on the ones where people write in. I'll go ahead and move that right in to one of the actual check boxes so that other people can say, "Oh, I didn't think about that. I'll vote for them." So, the other night we brought out, you know, the leaderboard has changed significantly since the other night where we talked about what was rolling for kayak of the year. And I'm actually pretty surprised right now at the standings. I'm looking at the top 15 here. And anybody want to take a guess at what's on the top of the list for kayaks right now?
Hobie.
Keep it wrong.
No?
Nope.
Husa?
Nope.
Good.
It's on the board, but it's not up there. Actually the Hobie doesn't come in until spot number 3 on the leaderboard. And leading the Hobie bunch is the Revolution. And I don't have a distinction in there between, you know, which size it is, but the new one is most recent. I doubt very seriously there's a lot of folks voting for the 11. But the Revolution is in third place. The Pro Angler is in fourth. Dee, your boats are coming in fifth right now. The 14.5 Ultimate.
The tandem or the single?
The single. The tandem is on there, separated out, and it's at 14th place right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny because, just to let everybody know, I wish I would have bought a tandem. It would have worked way better for me than a solo, but...
Why do you say that?
Because then I have an option for, like, taking the kids out fishing.
Right.
I could sit with them in the one kayak when they're younger, you know, they're 7, 8, whatever years old. You don't want them paddling alone, so having the tandem would be a lot better.
Yeah, you're right. And when you pull that front seat out, it's the same as the regular one, right?
It is, and the foot pedals come out super easy as well. You just pull the tab. There's a metal bar or metal tab that is for adjusting the seat or the footsies, I should say. Sorry, the footsies, forward and back. They just pop right out,
right.
And you'd never know it was even in there.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Jason on the chat room there has kind of come up with it. The Ocean Kayak Trident 13 is in first place right now.
Nice.
Followed by the Ocean Kayak Prowler Ultra 4.7, the new model. Yep. So
that's awesome.
Being able to vote every day.
Is it? You can vote every day now, Bill. I made sure of it.
I don't have time to vote. I didn't even have time to vote for myself. So where am I going to vote?
We'll go in there and throw some extra ones in on you. So, So the top five kayaks right now are the Ocean Kayak, the OK Trident 13, the OK Prowler Ultra 4.7, the Hobie Revo, the Hobie Pro Angler, and the Native Watercraft Ultimate 14.5 Solo. And I didn't make a distinction between the angler or whatever because it's not that significant. Just rod holders, right? You know, anchor. But it's just really for fun. I mean, I noticed that in a lot of the in the outdoor show and stuff and the show out in Vegas that you're starting to see these guys starting to pay attention. So I think though that new Jackson might show up next year. The Cuda. It looks like it's a pretty stable boat. Wilderness has a couple of boats in the top 15. The Tarpon 140 and the 160 are at 12 and 13, respectively. The Tarpon 120 is bringing up 15 there. The Diablos Paddle Sports however you want to say it. It means goodbye, I guess. But it's holding its own in there between the Wildy Commander and the Jackson Coosa. But the Hobie Outback is down right in the middle of the pack with less than half of what the Trident 13 is showing right now. Is that a surprise to anybody? I would have thought the Hobies would have been a little higher. What'd you say?
I'm a little surprised. I didn't see it coming because I thought the Wildies would be up there a little bit higher up.
I would think so too. I would think the Wildies and the Hobies, at least the Hobie Outback, I thought would have been up a little bit higher. So it's interesting. But the Ocean Kayak. I mean, the price of the Hobies. Maybe a lot of people like them, but maybe because they couldn't afford twice the price for a kayak, so.
True.
I don't know.
I think probably by next year.
You think?
It will probably, I think Hobie and Wilderness will probably be more towards the top. I think it's kind of right now still getting a lot of the word out.
Yeah.
And Ocean Kayak is kind of a popular name. That is, so somebody that just randomly decides they want to be a kayak angler, it's more
Well, and they were carried
there, I guess.
Until Bass Pro pushed them out with the Ascend line. The OKs were sold at Bass Pro shops and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jason in the chat room brings up a good point. He says, how many of the guys or gals that were nominated are OK team players? I don't know the answer to that, Jason. I think next year we'll probably add a little page with a bio on each of the people that were nominated. So that's cool. I'm going to wait just a little bit more before I get into the angler and guide. What else did I talk about then the other day? Let's take a look at some of the products that have been nominated. I knew Jason nominated the Way Cool Handline. Jason is out there handlining fish all the time. So, right now, tournaments of the year. And next year we will probably break it down. Some of the recommendations have been that we break the tournaments into those that are virtual tournaments, those that are real live tournaments and those that might have a charitable reason for being around. So that's probably a good idea, and certainly something we'll talk about when we get ready to do this next year. But right now, the number one tournament of the year leading is, what does it say? If somebody else is popping up. Kayak Wars is leading. And close on the, I mean, the top five are real close in this game with the top fishing tournament, kayak fishing tournament of the year. Kayak Wars is leading the race. The Jackson Kayak Fishing Classic is right on their heels. I mean, less than 8 votes. The Forgotten Coast Kayak Association, their classic is right in there. And TKAA charity tournament. That's something up in your neck of the woods there, Mark?
Yes, it is.
Okay, he's over there doing the dishes. So, yeah, so that one's right up there. The River Bass and Trail. And then once I was made aware of it by the strong showing of Hawaiian kayak brethren and sisters, the Makahiki tournament has jumped up in there and is showing strong. So Jay Bay and the Irish Water Dogs, and they're all up there in the top 10. So that could go any which way. So that's where we're standing on the leaderboard for the kayak fishing tournament of the year. Like I said, if you're not seeing the tournament that you think should be in there, just write it in and I'll move it over so that everyone can see it and they can get a vote for it. Any other tournaments that should be in there that you guys can't think of or that you guys could think of? There's quite a few of them in there. Okay.
I know the paddlefishing.com series was in there.
It got in there and it's up. To go over quickly to Forum of the Years, the paddlefishing.com tournament has jumped up in there. It's in the top 10 right now. They're, like I said, they're all real tight. But paddlefishing.com has showed up, and I stuck their name in there in the Kayak Forum of the Year. And I don't know if Adam or Mark from yakangler.com keep voting for themselves, but they're not allowed to vote. But you don't need to keep putting yakangler.com in there because we're not – Yak Angler and Kayak Fishing Radio are not eligible for any of the awards. So, but as far as Forum of the Year, right now we have – where is it? That's the fishing. Here we go. I went over and did a quick join up with the aqua hunters from Hawaii. Those dudes are showing some serious fish, man. If you haven't checked out the aquahunters.com, they've got some great fish porn on their site. So check them out. Let's see here. Okay, so right up at the top is the forum is Kayak Bass Fishing is leading the pack. Texas Kayak Fishermen are coming in second. The Aqua Hunters are just in behind the, Texas Kayak Fishermen, Aqua Hunters, and paddlefishing.com are neck and neck in there to fill out the top five. Southwest Florida Kayak Anglers, the Williamsburg Kayak Fishing Association, Kayak Fishing Stuff, the FCKA, that's the Forgotten Coast guys, Jack's Kayak Fishing, we're coming in the top 10 now here, Northwest Kayak Anglers, Georgia Kayak Fishing, Maryland Kayak Fishing, the TKAA. Mark, what is TKAA?
Tidewater Kayak Anglers Association.
Tidewater Kayak Anglers, thank you. The Pirates of Lynn Haven are in there, Big Water's Edge and Bloody Decks are showing up. And then rounding out the top 15 are the Panama City Kayak Fishing Association. So get out there and vote. It's surveymonkey.com/S/kayak fishing and give us your votes. So what do you think? Anyone? Rob? Rob, are you just waiting to see where you're at in the list, man? No?
How many votes are that, like, the top 10? Just, at, you know,
in the anglers?
Who's got what? No, in the forums. The last one you did.
Yeah, in the forums, we've had 1,266 people start the survey. Those that have been answered completely, number 1,153. So a 91% return on everyone who started the survey has filled it out. So that's pretty good. And the top 15 for, let's see, we're looking at 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, there's about 1,000 in the top 15. So.
So what number 15? How many votes did they have?
Number 15 is at 15 votes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many?
15. 15 for 15, yeah. That's a pretty big spread between the top vote and the number 15.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Chip.
Yeah?
If you don't complete the whole survey, does your vote not count?
No, it does. It does. If you just go in there and say, you know, because some of the responses at the end were, I didn't know anybody on this one, but I did vote for this and that. So the vote counts. I count it.
So where does paddlefishing.com come in on that?
They are tied for third right now.
Oh, third.
Third, yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear.
Yeah,
you
I'm
say
sorry.
Anything.
Yeah. They're tied for third right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they shot on there.
I was just wondering. I was like, didn't hear them, and I thought, well, I know they're voting. I know they're voting over there. So
yeah,
that's cool.
That's a pretty good website too. Once I, you know, was made aware of it, I went to it, checked it out, and sure enough, man, some good stuff in there. So.
And what was that? Hawaiian was AquaHunters.com.
AquaHunters, yeah, AquaHunters.com. Check that out, man. They got some great shots, man. Some pretty tough looking dudes. They should be riding Harleys, not kayaks.
I spent eight years over there. They've got some mean fish over there.
I'm sorry.
Go
ahead.
Those jacks are just nasty.
What do they call them? Lupa-lupa or something like that? What?
Ulua.
Ulua, that's right. Ulua.
Yeah.
It's an amberjack on steroids is what it is.
Oh, it's like it's just a Pacific trevally. It's a jack trevally, but it's the Pacific version.
When they're
small, like under 20 pounds or maybe under 15 pounds, or they call them papillo, and then when they get bigger, they call them ulua. And it's pretty interesting how the shore guys fish for them with, big chunks of squid, and it's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, they are bad. There's Kayak Kevin. Haven't seen him in a while. Hey, Kayak Kevin, how are you, man? And joining us on the roost is Mr. Becker. How are you this evening, sir?
Good evening, gentlemen and ladies and
girls. You know,
I'm getting back.
The last time I was paddling around when we went to the Cedar Key trip, that Sunday afternoon, we drove down to Homosassa and we paddled up to the springs and stuff. And as we went around, there's like that little monkey island there, you know, and there's a big old tree up there, and there's buzzards all sitting around the top of the tree, and that's what I kind of think about my show on Thursday nights, is we're all just a bunch of buzzards watching these guys down below us fish and stuff. Anyways, no offense to anyone. We call it Buzzard Roost on the carrier because we all sat up there and watched the launches and stuff. So it was Buzzard Row, Buzzard Roost, whatever. Okay, so I'm gonna go to, should we do angler or guide of the year first? Here it is.
Flip a coin.
Flip a coin, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
I think guide.
You think guide? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the right now the leaderboard for kayak fishing guide of the year, and this is the reason that they might have said that the ladies need to be off on their own, is because the top two guides in competition right now for the leaderboard are both ladies. Captain Linda, Captain Linda has got you D by a little bit, so you need to get your friends out there and give her a run for her money. But there's some of the comments have been, just give it to Linda. We're not giving up, that kind of thing. But Linda is leading the kayak fishing guide of the year. D, you are holding your own in second, and Jason, his little icon there in the chat room has got the little Z's beside it, but Jason is in third place. Tommy Samuels is in fourth. Jim Sammons from San Diego is in fifth. Steve Gibson, Shallow Pockets version, is sixth. And then right on down the line, we've got Juan from Kayakfish PA, Derek Burgos, Mark Lozier, Dave Elgis, Dean Thomas, Steve Gibson, the Southern Yak Fishing version, Josh Pruitt, Rob Alderman, Roger Bump, and Rick Buss. So that's our top 15 from the kayak fishing guides of the year. So we've still got several weeks of voting to go, but that's how it's out right now. So
what's the very last day for voting?
Actually, we said we would leave it open for 60 days, so we've got a few more weeks. So we've got 5 more weeks of voting to go. I would have to count more, D. But
that's all right. I wasn't sure.
As we get closer, I'll we've got plenty of time. We're gonna let it run. The numbers are probably gonna get big, or they'll just stop. So interesting for the guide of the year. Linda fishes out of, I've seen her in a Hobie, I've seen her in OKs. D, you're an ultimate. Jason is he's in third there. Tommy, I'm not sure. Jim, I think, fishes out of OKs. Steve Shallow Pockets is he's an emotion guy or a, I'm not sure.
No, he just got a Jackson kayak.
Oh, did he? He's doing the Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't know what Juan's doing. But interesting stuff. So, and Mark's out there buttoning down the house. So we're there.
I put a fan on.
Is what?
We got that tropical weather moving in.
Yeah.
So the heat is through the roof, the humidity.
Yeah.
And I'm in the garage trying to put away new fishing gear, and it's a little toasty. Sorry about the fan.
Oh, no, that's all right. All right, so we've got a few more minutes here on our hour. So there's a big front hitting right now. Wind just shifted in Norfolk, so guys are hanging in there. All right, so we're going to go over to Kayak Angler of the Year. And we didn't differentiate if you were a guide or if you were an angler. You were both eligible to be chosen by your peers, and all the nominations came from other kayak anglers, not from Kayak Fishing Radio or YakAngler.com. So, but the top 15 here in Kayak Angler of the Year, I think I got the 15 here, is from the list. Linda Cavett is leading the list for Kayak Angler of the Year. She's got a big old crew there in the panhandle voting for her. John Ost is in second. He's kind of bumped you out, D. You're in third right now for Angler of the Year.
D, you got to buy more votes.
Yeah. D's got to buy more votes.
Vote early, vote often.
Vote early, vote often. Right. You can vote once a day. If you have more than one person in your house, we'll be lenient on the number of times we see the IP address. I don't think anyone has 100 people in their house, unless you're taking it to the mall, getting everybody to vote as they walk by you. Dee's going to be out in front of Publix there. Here,
how'd
come
you
here.
Know?
Have her computer set up in the
Starbucks.
Shopping cart. Go to Starbucks, yeah, where you got Wi-Fi, right?
Wi-Fi and coffee.
That's right.
You got Greg Crisp to go do the man on the street interviews there.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And Bill, you and Rob are 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You guys are tied for 10. You and Rob Choi are tied for 10th there. So
wow, that's great.
Rob jumped off. He's probably out putting up sheds right now, but.
Yeah, I just looked at that track, and boys up there better get off the phone and get busy because it's coming.
Yeah.
Want to be in their shoes.
So I can keep working.
Okay. Wheeler, you're going to be like that guy Jim Cantore there, whatever his name is, Cantore from the Weather Channel. You know, next week you could be reporting on kayak fishing. We're out here and 80 miles an hour. So let me go back to the list here. So Linda's got first place right now. John Ost is second. D. Kaminsky is in third. Jason, you're in fourth. Kayak Kevin Whitley in fifth. Chad Hoover is in sixth. Bob Bramlett is in seventh. Ben Adrian, Steve M. Gibson. And then Rob Choi and Bill Howard are bringing up 10th. Zach Yak from Georgia Kayak Commission is in there. Eric Harrison, Slappy, is in the top. Chris Lally, you're just there tied for, looks like, 12th. Jeff Little, Bryce Molenkamp, Drew Gregory, the I Got Attacked by a Duck guy. Mark Lozier is in there. Josh Pruitt, Greg Crisp, and Michael Ortiz. So that's how it's listed out. So you guys are doing great. So D's got to buy more votes. Jason has got to vote for himself more often. Kayak Kevin is in there. It's fun. This is all fun. Like I said, I have learned a lot as far as like some of the kayaks that were mentioned. There was a Swiss kayak, the one that Jason put in there. What was that one? It's the.
Hey Chip, you ought to post some links to those kayaks. I'd like to check them out.
Yeah, I'm gonna. The ones that I don't see, the Raptor actually got a vote, so it's in there now. The Tide Race Excite.
The Raptor.
And here's another one for you, the Tutega Huntsman. Was one that I hadn't heard of.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. I didn't nominate you, Greg. I can't nominate people. The Tutega Huntsman, the .65 North Kayaks, their whiskey model is in there. The Pelican Castaway 116, that's an old school kayak there. Is in there. The new canoes are in there. It's kind of interesting. Okay, Kevin just posted a radar shot here. The current Norfolk radar looks pretty wild there, dude. Holy crap. I'll zoom out a little bit. There we go. Wow, those are some big bands. Right through Richmond, Norfolk, Newport News, Chesapeake Bay are getting hit pretty good. So, but that's where we're at. What?
That's not even the hurricane.
Yeah, no, it's still, the hurricane's still down off the, having beer with D.
Yeah.
It's still down there. So, well, let's, so that was enough fun for that. My fun meter's pegged on that thing. This is the most talking I've done on a show in a long time. So, who's fishing? D, are you doing any fishing? You're waiting the weather out, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you have any?
But it's the best time to check all your gear, get everything the way you want it, and start fresh pretty much.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I was looking for suggestions. I was at one of the big box sporting goods places the other day and got a pretty good deal on a St. Croix Triumph spinning rod. I like their handles. They're all cork and everything, and they're short. But it was, you can't build one this cheap. It was $60, and I had to sort through the ones they had on the rack to get one that had the guides weren't all beat up and twisted or not in line. But it's a 7-foot spinning rod, medium light, fast action, 6 to 12 pound test. Got it for $60. I thought that was a pretty good deal. And I'm wondering what's a suggestion for a reel there? Anybody got a good suggestion for a reel for that rod?
What are you gonna fish for?
Fish, man. You know, the things in the water. I don't know. It's a 6 to 12 pound. I mean, I'd go after redfish, trout. I'm not
I mean, it makes a difference. Are you looking for something to just hold line, or are you looking for something that has a drag that you might actually
then,
have to...
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, I know most people, you know, up in your neck of the woods don't catch fish big enough to pull drag on a 6 to 12 pound rod.
Little...
But in case you accidentally run into one or lend it to the clone and he catches a good-sized fish, I'm just asking.
Jeff flares, man. I'm breaking.
Wow.
I know, right?
Wow.
Just coming at me, man. Beat
the
beat.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Damn, bam.
Who started out by saying fish?
Fish, dude. Yeah, you're right. My apologies, sir.
Opening salvo.
You're right. Yep. Just capitulated. You bring up a very good point there because that is something overall. The drag needs to be just smooth as silk. I want something with nice drag on it. So the shell crackers around here don't pull drag. So... But I don't know. What would you stick on it, Greg?
I haven't fished him yet, but Bill's a big fan of some of the Roy McGill reels. Like I said, I haven't had a chance to play with one yet.
They build their own?
Yeah, Roy McGill's Sabalas reels are really nice.
Yeah. I'm a big Daiwa reel fan, but the older series, the SS series reels.
Right.
They're all I used to use for salmon and steelhead, you know, both my own and then the guide rods and reels. They took a horrible amount of abuse. I was fishing ultralight tackle for big steelhead and salmon. I mean, I was fishing in the winter, I was fishing 2-pound leaders for steelhead and maybe 4 to 6 pound leaders for 25, 30, 40 pound salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And the drags on those reels just took it and took it and took it and took it. Never glitched, never broke off a fish because the drag glitched. And that says a lot, you know, when a salmon takes 60 yards of line in a few seconds and the drag doesn't explode on a small like that, that says a lot. For me, their SS series reels all the way up through the saltwater stuff are nice. I'm not a big fan of their low-end, I mean, it's all overseas, but the low-end Walmart size and quality reels.
The shrink wrapped ones that are hanging on the sticks. Yeah.
Exactly. But I've heard a lot of people talk really well about the Wright McGills, and Bill seems to catch some pretty decent fish on them. So.
What do you think, Bill?
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about them is that they're no matter what size reel you buy, they're all the same price. So if you get a 2500 or you get a 4000, they're all the same price.
Same price. I got a couple of Wright McGill rods that are really nice. So
yeah,
they'll probably be my next reels.
The drags are good on them and stuff. You were fishing with those down at Cedar Key? Was that your?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I'm thinking probably
like a Chris Lally, VB Java chick in the chat room there. She popped in with a Daiwa Coastal 2500. Is that about the right? I'm thinking about right size. I'm just thinking 1,000, 2500 series.
Yep.
In a reel.
Yep, the Coastal 2500 is nice. That's the newest version in there.
Yeah.
Not Mortgage the House Saltwater series.
Right.
They're a very nice reel.
Hey, Wheeler, while you're nailing up some plywood there, man, think of this for one of your shows, man. You need to discuss what's going on with the Curado, the Shimano Baitcaster. They've got some new numbers out. They don't make sense to me.
Who's that?
I said you, Wheeler. It's Chip, man. I said on one of your shows, because the Shimano Curados are typically the Rip Lip and Bassmaster guys. You guys need to go talk about that reel. They've changed up some of the designations on it now.
They changed them up is that they added more to them.
Because I've got the old E7 300s.
Yeah. Yeah, you 200 E7s.
Yeah.
Those things are now, that's your fast speed, 200 yards of, I think it's like 12-pound line.
Right.
Or 8-pound, something like
but
that.
But it looks like they made a larger one for like an inshore reel.
Yeah, the larger one for your swim bait. That's your 300, I think.
Yeah.
But that was originally there for your throwing swim bait, stuff like that. But all of them are great for saltwater.
Yeah. They really do a nice bird's nest, too, when you hook a spook up to your stakeout pole. Yeah. So.
Hey,
Dee,
I'm going to want to take care of that.
You would say, Bill?
I love my bird.
Bill?
What's that? No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, that wasn't you? Oh, it was probably Mark yelling. Dee, what do you think for real? What do you use?
I use Okumas mostly. They're inexpensive, and I've never had any problems with them, even with that 49-inch redfish that got chewed.
Yeah?
Yeah, smooth as silk, and they take a beating as well. I mean, I use them with my clients. You know, a lot of them love to dunk, and you try really hard to keep them clean, and it works out fine, you know?
Right.
And they're very inexpensive for what I like. But I'm always out to find something new, like that Wright McGill sounded really great. I'm going to look that one up.
Yeah.
Hey, do you wind up doing maintenance on those, or do you kind of treat them as disposable, and once they get to the point where they start needing it's easier to replace them?
I maintain them. Yeah, I maintain them until I can't anymore, and then I get them replaced. I mean, you're really not talking a lot of money for these. You're going for something that's $30, $40, $50. And they do, you know, increase in price, unfortunately, the bigger you go. But I really don't use anything bigger than a 2 or a 3 or, you know, 4 for, like, the big ones. But I never, you know, have a 4,000 in my hand usually unless I know I'm going to be going after, specifically after the bigger fish.
Right.
Obviously, yeah. The client's not going to need something that big, so.
Cool. Kayla, what kind of reels do you have?
I think three of my spinning reels are Okumas.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with the especially, I use the bait caster more than anything, and I, like, learned how to fish on the Akumas, and so I have a variety of them, but it's good enough for West Virginia.
Cool. All right, Bill just dropped out, so good night, Bill. That's cool. Yeah, I was thinking something in the neighborhood of Chuck keeps tempting me with the Shimano Stratic CI4, and those are some pretty sweet looking little rods, but I still don't think they're too small. I would go with like the 2000 series, I think. So,
well, I think you should do that too. I want one. And
you got a Stratic?
Me?
You?
No, I don't, but I want one really bad. Like, I've been looking at them, and, like, it's not what I'm used to, so it makes me kind of nervous, because then I think if I switch up what I'm doing, then I'm going to miss a lot of fish. But you should get one. Fish it a couple times, and then let me know how it works.
Okay. Well, that's all that Chuck uses. He uses that lightweight rod. It's kind of like it's a buggy whip, man. It's like a fly rod with a spinning reel on it. Do you use
awesome.
Chuck's rod? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I picked up a Stratic 4000 at a pawn shop, almost brand new. Guy didn't know what he had. Picked it up for stupid cheap. And the only thing on it that I didn't like, I mean, it was smooth as silk, really, really nice drag, very nice reel. The only thing I couldn't get used to on it is the position of the anti-reverse switch, the little lever on the front of the reel. I just couldn't get used to it. So Junior Fly Reel is now very happy to tell everybody that he's got a Shimano Stratic on his saltwater rod, which I guess for an 8-year-old is quite the accomplishment.
He's sport, man.
But he is. But that's the only thing I didn't like about it. But aside from that, I thought they were pretty decent reel.
Right. When we were there at the Goon fishing with Dee and Chuck, the reels that I brought down there, those were two. They were some Hurricane rods, the Redbone series that I had picked up a couple years back. I just kind of liked them. I like a 6 to 12, 8 to 17 medium light rod with a fast action tip on it. And I like to shorten up the handles when I get the opportunity to do that. But I like a 7-foot rod, and I like those the Shimano bait runners. And I got a couple of those. The ones that we were using there in the Goon, they were the 4000, the smallest ones they make.
Yep.
And the D series, the new ones. And the clone loved it, especially with the Power Pro on it. They cast a mile. So.
Yeah.
And a couple of them I used to use for stripers up in New York.
Yeah. What'd you say, Kayla?
I have two of those. And
the bait runners?
I use them. Mm-hmm. I use them for catfishing and striper. Yeah.
Well, the reason I had them, I liked them for the for like kingfishing and stuff. When you're just live baiting, they're a great reel.
Mm-hmm.
Pop in that little bait runner drag, you know, and you can.
It's on my tarpon rod now.
Yeah. So I've got one of the old 3500s, which is a big old monster reel, one of the first series of bait runners.
I use those actually for surf fishing.
Really?
Mhm.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to pop that little bait runner drag on. I used to be all over. I loved pen reels, but then they started making those graphite series ones, you know, that were like plastic, and I kind of lost confidence in them. So, but anyways.
And Chip, the one thing I haven't seen, and I I wish Bill was still here to talk about it, but the one thing I haven't seen on the Wright McGill is how easy it is to take apart to clean and do some basic maintenance on.
Right.
When I was looking at different reels to buy, I started irritating the guys in the shop by, you know, spinning off the drag and taking the spool off and taking, you know, pulling the handle out and looking inside the side plate and doing all that stuff, just saying, okay, well, if I'm going to spend this much money on the reel, how tough is it going to be to maintain, or how, you know, how easy is it to drop a drop of oil here and a splish of grease here, and then we can go from there. But that's one thing I'd be interested in looking at on those.
Yeah.
How easy it is to do some preventive maintenance. Not necessarily right. A full overhaul on the dining room table, but just keep it in condition.
Touch-up.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what I started
especially
doing?
If you got clients who are dunkers.
And,
oh, my
think,
God. Well,
what?
Yeah.
What?
Yes. It's, you know, that's the one reason why I never really buy a really, really good reel for myself, is because no matter what happens, you end up giving your own rod to the client sometimes here or there, and you're like, they're going to end up dunking that one too. Why bring out a good one? So when I'm out on my own and doing my own scouting, I'll bring something out, and I'm like, comparison shopping at the same time, going, this reel actually feels as easy as the Okuma, which is way less expensive. Why am I buying such expensive reels?
Right.
So it's kind of like, why, really?
Mm-hmm.
If it works for you, why go super expensive? Why do I need to have, you know, the $100 reel when I can do just as much with 50 or below? So
you got to admit, though, that those the van stalls and stuff, that's a lot of bling going on there.
But that's exactly what it is, though.
Right.
It's a lot of bling.
You know,
and,
got the little drilled out areas in there. They're real pretty. I would really be hard pressed to take a, you know, $600-$700 reel out and just abuse it like I normally do. I mean, my reels are lucky in that I just got into a habit a long time ago that when I got done fishing, I would come back in and I got an old 5-gallon bucket and I fill it up with fresh water and I just stack all my reels and rods, just sit them right down in there and just let them sit overnight.
No, I won't do that.
You don't?
I will never leave a reel dunked in water. No.
Why not?
No. I will only spray them out lightly and easily and try not to get water all the way through and through it, just wherever any spray might be there, you know.
Uh-huh.
If it were a dunked reel, I would do that. But
yeah.
Not
well, I usually dunk
that I
mine.
Wow.
I usually stick mine in the water sometime during the time I'm using them, so.
Yeah, but I used to take them in the shower, but they got really annoying trying to carry them upstairs all the time.
The treble
yeah,
hooks and everything.
Yeah. Right, yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Stuck in the shower curtain.
Yeah. That's
oops,
it.
That big hole. Damn.
Yeah. Whoa. But, you know, and I, was it UD or was it Rob Toy? Which one of you guys, you guys have the little sprayer that you spray down your stuff when you come out off the water?
The garden sprayer?
Yeah.
I was doing that for a while. Now I just carry a spray bottle because the garden sprayer has a gasket for where the pump, you know, it locks down into the plastic sprayer there. And after a year or two, the heat just kind of deteriorates it, and then you just got to buy another one. So now I just bring out a regular old window washing spray, you know, cheap bottle, spray my rods down until I get home and do a better job. But that's for the rod part. But, like, if you want to rinse your feet or get, you know, stuff off your kayak or,
right.
You know, like I like bringing a couple gallons of regular water out from used water jugs or milk jugs, and I just pour it over my feet or rinse things off that way. Clients like it because then they go home with clean feet and hands, you know, they're not all gross. But the garden sprayers. The only problem is you keep that stuff in your car and it's out in the Florida sun. By the
right.
time you're pouring it on their feet or their hands, it's cooked hot water. You know, it's
like a little hot shower.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
See, the unsung hazards of guiding.
Uh-huh.
Things that people just don't think about when they want that big captain's license. You know,
that's right.
Never think about it.
You want that six-pack so bad, and yeah, then you got to worry about scalding people's feet with your little garden sprayer. You know.
And then you wonder, does my liability insurance cover that?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
it's horrible.
Oh, right.
I don't think I can handle that.
No.
Just too much pressure.
Up to you guys. Absolutely. And I think I would be, like, annoyed with the fact that they want to ask questions or...
The guide, the folks that are your guidance?
Yeah, the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said for years that I wanted to be a guide in West Virginia because I know a whole bunch of places around here that you can catch good fish and that a lot of people don't know about or don't
right.
fish often. But I, like, purposely find places that are out of phone service so I don't have to deal with anybody when I get on the water. And to have somebody that I pick with me saying, what do I do with this? And then dropping my poles in the water and...
Shut up, we're fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, can you just go away
Kayla
for a little
there.
Bit?
Handing them the lit stick of dynamite. You can fish or talk. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Like, and I... Like, Chuck always runs his mouth about me not having all my pictures up on Yak Angler. I have some up on... Facebook, but
you don't want all the Googans going to your
like,
spot, huh?
Right, but
yeah.
a lot of the time, like, I caught a muskie that was 42 inches, and I have a picture of it, but I look like a freaking idiot because I was so excited, like, I can't put that on the internet, but
I caught me a fish.
The time when I, exactly, and I mean, it's a big dog, like, and I can't control it, but whatever. But
you need your own
time,
show. You sound like you're the Mogan girl. Get out
absolutely.
There screaming and hollering like the Iconelli of chick fishing.
Exactly. I am. I want to marry him.
Iconelli?
No joke. Yeah.
Have you read his book?
If you met him.
Yeah, you wouldn't if you met him. If you read the last chapter in his book, you won't want to marry him.
Well, I've... Honestly, I've been, like, debating it lately.
Oh,
but
okay.
Anyway, right. I don't always have... I always have my camera. I take, like, the little digital camera. And if I catch a bass or something, I can get a picture of it. But half the time, I don't even have pictures of the fish I catch because I don't want to take the person with me that's going to take the picture.
Oh.
Because... they make too much noise in the background. And
you like, wouldn't want to fish with me then, tell her, Dee. You know,
no, not with Chip, no.
I'm not a quiet fisher.
Not at all.
It's
I think if it's like
quieter
known,
than
yeah.
I'm not very quiet either. like, I think there's like that if you're like set that you're going to go catch some fish and like, it's on, and it's you and the fish, and then all of a sudden you've got this paddle, like, splashing in the background, and there's this huge bass right in front of you, and you're like, what the heck?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I like to have fun when I fish, so.
Oh, I do, too. Yeah,
like,
I think
now that I know Dee and Chuck and them, I'm going to start carrying my squirt gun when I go fishing with them. We used to have water balloon fights between boats and stuff like that when I was fishing out of Pensacola. It was way too much fun. So, but you know, I always fish reefs and deep water and trolling and stuff, so you really didn't have to be quiet. I understand, though, Dee and Chuck's thing, you know, when you're in the shallows and all, you know, you got to worry about it. You got to think about it a little bit more, but. I'm just so happy to be able to get out and go fishing with cool people like them that I just get overwhelmed. So, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh, I feel like I'm going to cry now. That breaks my heart. And I mean, I'm a happy fisher woman, too. I like people.
Dee freaked me out, though, when I caught that if you see the picture of me with the big red fish, that was taken by Dee standing on the bow of my kayak. She just stepped on, she just like, hold the fish out, and just stepped out on the front of the kayak, and she's like dancing around like a little kayak pixie out there on the front of the kayak, trying to dunk me in the water.
That's awesome.
I have a 150-pound head, so that if I look left or right, the kayak moves that way. So she's scaring me, freaking me out, but it was a lot of fun. Dee wasn't too quiet when we were catching that fish.
I was actually straddled over two kayaks. I was standing on mine and then standing on yours, and then hoping you'd get the fish out of the water and balance it right without throwing me over.
That was a
fun
morning.
Yeah, that was great.
That was a fun morning. That was, I have to tell you, Dee, that was the best cast I have ever made in my life.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, that was the best cast I ever made. I was and I was so worried that I was going to screw it up in front of you.
Aww.
No pressure.
I did. I mean, it was like, you should have seen it, Greg. These big wakes were coming across, you know.
Yeah, they were.
And we were paddling, trying to intercept them. And Dee had been trying to get the clone out. You know, we're looking for it. It was like this eerie. You know, horror movie kind of fog over the lagoon, you know, and we're paddling out, and all of a sudden, here come these wakes. And that was it was probably 20, 30-yard cast out in front to get the bait in front of them, and then try to guess when they were over the top, because I had no clue how deep the water, this is the first time I ever fished in the lagoon, and how deep the water was, and I just knew that I had to just tickle the bait a little bit when they got close so they would see it. And it just worked out perfect. I mean, it was one of those times that I'll never forget throwing that bait out there. And you know, that bait, Dee, was just a little piece of something that had fallen into my boat. It was just the tail end of one of those, because I had been rigging up the clone's gear to get him in the water. So I didn't even have a bait tied on until just before we saw those fish, and I stuck that little, just the tail of one of those baits onto the hook that fish took. So, anyways.
It was,
all right.
It was perfect. It was perfect.
Yeah, that's the way it is, though, on a good fish. Just worked out. All right, so everybody is going out to nail up the plywood and get themselves locked in before the storms hit. Mark, you getting it all buttoned down there, buddy?
Yeah, for the most part. I got a couple more things to do, but right now I'm just taking care of all the tackle I got from my grandfather. You know, I've got more tackle here than I know what to do with right now.
Yeah.
Up to the ceiling.
All right, man. Well, good luck to you up there. Keep it tight.
I will.
All right. All right, man. So, Dee, I guess you're not going fishing. You're going to wait out the storm. Kayla, you doing any fishing this weekend?
You know, I'm supposed to be leaving Saturday morning to go to North Carolina.
Oh.
And
that's probably not a good idea.
I have no idea. Really, I have been, like, debating it back and forth, like, if it's actually going to get that bad. I've been so pumped. Like, I've had all my gear ready since Monday. And
are you driving?
Yeah.
Are you? Oh. Well, then it should be fine.
To go on Sunday?
Yeah, by the time she gets up there, she's just going to be right behind the storm the whole time following it. I think she should be all right.
Yeah.
If I leave Saturday morning...
Well, isn't it supposed to be, like, up at, like, New York, way up in the, on Sunday morning? So it's way past North Carolina.
Is it really? I thought it was supposed to be.
Hang on a second.
Think...
I'll refresh the map here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What's it saying? Where's it going to be on Saturday? Boop, boop, boop.
What's the date Saturday?
The 27th, right? 28th. 26, 25 today, right?
27th
on Saturday.
27th. Saturday morning at 2 a.m., it's going to be just off the North Carolina-South Carolina border.
Yeah.
By 2 p.m., it'll be about mid-state in North Carolina with gale force winds extending all the way up to the Maryland-Virginia border.
I wouldn't go.
Yeah, gale force winds inland all the way west of Raleigh.
Yeah.
Two-thirds of the way into Charlotte.
Yeah, Kayla, I'd probably put it off for another week.
Yeah.
Man, that sucks.
Stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't drive into that.
Yeah. That's
Unless
so
you're...
sad that I was thinking yeah. I'll just go in there after the storms hit, like, so I can go catch fish. That's not very nice.
You need to wait a couple more days. But
yeah.
It's like one weekend. My wife and I, when we were living in California, we had a cabin rented for the weekend. We were going up to Big Bear, which is just north of Los Angeles, right in the edge of the mountains. Real pretty up there. We were awakened on the day that we were supposed to drive up by the house was shaking and rocking and rolling for about 45 seconds. It was an earthquake. We didn't even think about it, where it was or anything. We just packed up our stuff and started driving. And the actual epicenter of it was just north of Big Bear. And we got up there, and they had all the roads closed and everything. They said, where do you think you're going? I'm like, oh, we got a cabin rented up there. Some friends of ours had gotten there the day before us, and the cabin they were in, the whole the chimney and everything just caved in the cabin. Nobody was hurt or anything, but we just didn't even think about it. So, think about it. The hurricane is there, so... I probably wouldn't go. So.
Yeah.
So you can get on surveymonkey.com/s/kayakfishing and vote for your favorites. You can do it once a day. You can have your friends do it too, right? You can do that this weekend.
That's what I'll do this weekend.
Okie doke. Mr. Becker, are you fishing?
No, winds on the west coast of Florida are looking like right out of the Gulf between anywhere between 18 and 25, and that's just going to make it downright miserable.
Yeah.
I'm not into surfing in the kayak, but if you don't mind, I'm going to take my talk about fishing time and put my work hat on for a minute and just reinforce the, make a kit, get a kit, make a plan, and stay informed because this thing is not something to play with.
Yeah.
The extent that it's going up, even the area of the gale force winds, if it stretches all the way up the East Coast the way they're talking about, it's been so long since that area has seen any kind of real tropical activity that a lot of people are just, it's no big deal. They say, well, it's not Katrina and we're not in New Orleans and we're not in Florida, so it's not a big deal. And I know because I just moved down from there less than a year ago, so I know what it used to be like up there. And then I've talked to people down in Florida, and I've seen the pictures and read the reports and done everything else and realized just how unprepared most people are.
Yeah.
And that's as a, somebody who spent 30 years in the fire service, I used to spend a lot of time going out and taking care of people who didn't take care of themselves. And if they had when they could have, it would have made a big difference.
Absolutely.
So just take the time to make sure you and your family, and if you've got family in that area, give them a call and just remind them, make sure they're taking it seriously. Because it, I saw it, I'd love to say I made it up, but I didn't. But I saw a post somebody today talking about getting out of hurricane areas and, saying if you stay around to watch it till the last minute, it might be your last minute.
That's right.
So don't do that. Here endeth the lesson, but thanks for the time.
Yeah, man. No, it's totally – it's good wisdom there because you don't want to mess with that stuff. I mean, like I said, the last one I went through, I rode out in Pensacola. It was a Category 3 when it came ashore. My house was less than a mile from the beach, and it was just brutal. It was scary, and it's just not something you want to mess with. If you got the – I mean, my mom and dad live in just north of Montgomery, Alabama. It's like it wouldn't have took nothing for us just to drive up there, not worry about it. You can always rebuild the house, insurance, all that stuff takes care of it. It's just you can't replace lives. So, just the other stuff that gets that gets drawn in. You know, you got all that high tropical area stuff. You got tornadoes and things that can be spawned off of those stuff. It's just not it's not worth messing with. I spent some time over in Japan with some of the tsunamis, or not tsunamis, but the big storms over there, and those things are crazy, man. When you see it raining horizontally, it's a lot of water. So, but yep, we wish all of our friends in that area good luck. Kevin and Rob and all of them, hope they're battening down the hatches, and if they've got the ability to get out of Dodge, get out of Dodge. It's kind of like, you know, there's just so much up there that they haven't seen in a while, that preparation is the key. So, that, what was it tonight on the news I saw? They said the last time that a hurricane hit New York, Long Island, that for the most part, all of Long Island was like 13 feet underwater. So they're even talking about shutting down the subways when the storm comes up. So, yeah. All right. Well, that's enough time. We've been on for about an hour and a half. I appreciate everybody showing up. Dee, Kayla, ladies, good night. We'll do it again next Thursday. We've got shows on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Holy cow, we got them all week long. Kayak Angler's Choice Awards are going on. Vote for your favorites. Let's see, big events coming up. This Labor Day, the Clone and I are going to be in Panama City fishing with the Panama City Kayak Fishing Association. Captain Linda Cabot and her friends are going to be fishing right outside of Tyndall Air Force Base there, and maybe do some offshore if the weather's good. We've got October rolling around here in a few more weeks, and we're going to be in Charleston, South Carolina for the Chucktown Boondoggle. The folks from yakangler.com and Kayak Fishing Radio, we're going to meet there in Mount Pleasant, the KOA campground just north of Charleston, for a weekend of debauchery and fishing and all the good kinds of things that we can get into for fishing and out of our little plastic boat. So join us, if you will. Go to yakangler.com and get the particulars. Sign up and get your reservations in. We're going to be in one of the cabins there at the KOA. And that's about it. See folks left in the chat room there. It's gotten kind of late. So, Greg, up there in New Hampshire, you guys take care. Kayak Kevin, don't be crazy, man. There's no DVDs to be made in the middle of a hurricane. Greg, thanks for showing up, man. Thanks for the good words of wisdom. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we'll see all of y'all next week.
Have a good night.
Good night. Good
night,
Dee. Good
night. Good night, Dee. Good night, Kayla.
And we'll take it on out.